Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN. When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Welcome, welcome, folks, to this Chunkanu Jam Session series, and we are in episode 2. The reason why we're calling it the Chunkanu Jam Series is because when I was going into the history of Chunkanu, initially, I thought I could cover everything in one episode, but when I decided to look at Jamaican Chunkanu, which is what we covered in episode 1, please check it out, and looking at Chunkanu in the Bahamas is something very different and distinct from Jamaica, then looking at Chunkanu in places like Belize and Nicaragua, then also finding out that Chunkanu existed in the southern USA, and there is a recent resurgence to bring it back. A festival based on African heroes and resistance that is connecting the USA to the Caribbean and connecting us to each other. Isn't that wonderful? So we are delving into this Chunkanu Jam Session series. In this episode, we are touching on Bahamian Chunkanu, its brief history, and some of the intricacies we may not know about. But stay tuned, folks. We have an amazing episode coming up when we will be speaking to a historian from the Bahamas who went back to the motherland, went back to Ghana to really connect the Chunkanu story back to the motherland. And he will be joining us very soon to be part of the Chunkanu Jam Session series. So look out for that episode. It's going to be fire. So let's jump into Chunkanu of the Bahamas. Anywho, let's jump into Bahamian Chunkanu, which is a very different field to Jamaican Chunkanu. When looking at the Bahamas, which is 700 islands, we tend to congeal, you know, these hundreds of islands under one identity. And just like town to town, district to district, different areas of a country have different identities. So when looking at the Bahamas, it is reputed that Cat Island in the Bahamas to have the strongest African-based culture. And that traditional Chunkanu in Cat Island faded away in the 1950s But there has been a revival by the younger generation to bring it back. And now, of course, many of us know that Junkanoo in the Bahamas is one of the biggest festivals you find. It's glitzy, it's glamorous, it's huge, it's feathers, it's gems, it's gold and silver, and it's absolutely visually stunning. It has a very different feel to Jamaican Junkanoo. But that doesn't mean that Junkanoo in the Bahamas did not have its very humble beginnings and did not have its pushback. And yes, it's seen as a very hugely commercial, tourism-centered festival. And you don't really think about it having any spiritual backdrop or origins. But just like Jamaican Junkanoo, it is rooted in resistance. The history of Junkanoo, it has many different versions and variants, but it is of the belief that it is the same story that went to Jamaica, landed in the Bahamas, of the celebration of the man from Ghana, Junkanoo, who had defeated the British and the Dutch and was doing some gangster things, right? And they started to incorporate their own versions of African masquerade as well into the Bahamas, even using things like the materials that you can find everywhere. You make do and make something with it, make a costume with it. In the Bahamas, you'd find some early photographs of Junkanoo celebrators using sponge, as in a sea sponge, which was something that was so abundant in the Bahamas, and they used that to make Junkanoo costumes. So the earliest record of Junkanoo occurring in the Bahamas, recorded, is 1801. But it did receive a lot of pushback because, of course, the colonial lawmakers, plantation owners, and so on, did not like to see gatherings of enslaved Africans in doing something which was seen as very heathenish, anti-Christian, and so on. This went on even after emancipation. But in the early days, the Junkanoo Parade, the use of sea sponges, but also masqueraders would use simple things like getting flour and making a paste and covering their faces. That gives them that sense of anonymity. It gives them that sense of, I am masked, so I cannot be reprieved for or punished for engaging in this type of masquerade. But also this use of parody, the parody of Europeans, which is something you'll find in different elements of Junkanoo. This kind of confrontation and parody and making fun of the colonial leaders within the colonies. In the Bahamas, you'd find many of the same resonances from Jamaica, the use of the goatskin drum. And later on, they replaced the flour paste with a wire mask, which is something you can find in other parts, right? I've seen it used by the Shortney in Grenada as well. So just looking at how we are intertwined in so many different ways. So the use of the wire mask, bugles, horns, the drum, and the various characters will be a mix of African spirituality and a parody of Europeans and a development of a hybridized Caribbean masquerade. This is what Junkanoo in the Bahamas has become. There is a photograph of a Junkanoo masquerader from 1935, and the caption says he danced for coppers to fill the money pouch hanging from his wrist. So looking at how the engagement of masqueraders and receiving donations as well, which is something you also saw in Jamaica. So speaking about post-emancipation Bahamas, the formerly enslaved were marginalized into black neighborhoods, but they would use Junkanoo as a means of political rebellion, making a political statement, and go to an area over the hill. Because once you cross over the hill, you are entering the white spaces of the Bahamas. And they used to do that during their Junkanoo festivities. Once again, to confront, to resist through joy, using the drum they say you can't use, singing the songs they say you can't sing, broken up, winding up, doing all the things. But entering those very predominantly white spaces is something that we have to recognize is so powerful, and how we have used masquerade, even intertwining the spirituality behind it, but using masquerade as a means to reclaim space, right? So much so that in 1899, the government limited Junkanoo under the Street Nuisance Act. Just like in Trinidad in the 1880s, they had the Peace Ordinance Act, where they banned the use of the drum. But yes, black Bahamians continued the festival every year until the government started to see, that could make them money. Money, honey. And that is when Junkanoo started to grow and expand and be supported. It could be seen as a cultural event to attract tourists and visitors and revenue to the country. And then it has now been encouraged. Some contemporary Junkanoo bands are like 1,000 people or more. That's just one band in current Bohemian Junkanoo. So that goes to show just how massive it is. If you see the size of the floats, the intricacy of the costumes, Bohemian Junkanoo is next level. Visually is spectacular. But let me go back a little bit though. What is old time Junkanoo? What does old time Junkanoo look like? How can we go back and honor those elements of the traditions of old style Junkanoo that comes from the Bahamas? So looking at back to our guy, Kenneth Bilby, he had gone down to Bahamas as well. Whilst in the Bahamas, he had interviewed several elder Bohemians. And one says this: when you get tired of rushing in a church, where rushing was a means of movement and dance and so on, when you got tired of rushing in the church, you could simply go out onto the street and dance Junkanoo. Another former practitioner of both traditions, meaning church and Junkanoo, because sometimes it was seen as they could not coexist. Even in 1994, there are Christian groups that are petitioning against Junkanoo continuing in the Bahamas. But one former practitioner of both traditions describes this overlap as she experienced it in the community of Orange Creek. Before time, Christmas time, you go to church like 10 o'clock at night. Then you march from 12 o'clock till high sun the next morning. Till high sun. Big morning, you come home, sleepy and dragging on the side there. And you sing in Rush Out Now. They'd rush. And you see Christmas? When you come out Christmas morning out of the church, you go right into the Junkanoo. You're drumming out there, beating. Faithful must join them. The Junkanoo performers were waiting for you to come out of the church. And when you come out of the church, you go into the Junkanoo and the Junkanoo rush. There used to be some good times those days. Isn't that amazing? Especially like how church, even though Caribbean church is a bit different, but how in terms of praying to God and all of that, you had to be very humble and so on. And the fact that the Junkanoo performers are waiting for you outside the church, it's like they're pulling you. So even when the church is saying, nah, don't do this, you can't be part of that, that you are still pulled. To me, in my humble opinion, spiritually, that spiritual connection, you could not be severed from that. So in the essay, it goes on to say, at another point, the same individual elaborated on the seamless movement of joint participants between the inside and outside context. So the inside of the church and outside of the church. You hear what I tell you? The Junkanoo, when the Christmas, as morning gets on the eve of breaking, the Junkanoos who are leading up the Junkanoo, they're gearing up for just how the church come out. Yeah, they're gearing up for just how the church out. They join with the Junkanoo, you know. Some of them Junkanoo leaders was in church before. They go out in time to get ready for that Junkanoo. Well, they go. Some of them get the drums heated, get ready for that Junkanoo, get dressed up, white up the skin with powder and stuff. This was a quote from one of the elders from Cat Island in the Bahamas, speaking about their experience between church and Junkanoo in the Bahamas. The boundaries between secular and sacred appear to have been particularly frangible during the rolling out of the old year, as it was called, and the passage into the new, a liminal time of heightened spiritual sensitivity. The services of New Year's Eve, with rushing and prayer that continued throughout the night and into the following morning, were held for the express purpose of pushing out the old year. Which is, a lot of us do that. We do midnight mass and them kind of things in church, right? Again, as participants refer to it, and ushering the community safely into the new year, thus completing and rebirthing the annual cycle of ritual observances that mirrored the sacred cycle of life and death itself. But just before midnight, inside the church, the celebrants would go around shaking each other's hands and singing a spiritual song. And one of the spiritual songs that he's talking about here is about Jesus, spare us another year, and thanking God for another year. and that in terms of Jesus' love for their children. And then going outside and hearing different chants by the Jonkonu must have been such a duality as well. So he says here, in the community of Dumfries, for instance, children until relatively recently, which is about 1930s or 40s, because as you're saying, Jonkonu had died out by the 1950s and then had its recent resurgence over the past few decades. But they would annually take to the streets shortly after Christmas to join in play processions mimicking the more serious Jonkonu masquerading that they had seen adults perform during the holiday season. The masks fashioned by these children from cardboard with large holes for eyes resembled human skulls. While imitating the performances of the elders, they sang songs such as the following: Spirit walking on wire, Juk he foot in the fire. Like, I need to marinate on that. Spirit walking on wire, Juk he foot on the fire. And I think it's almost talking about, I don't know, navigating yourself on this very thin wire and getting choked by the fire, which is, I guess, the flames of hell or being punished. Very, very interesting. And I wonder if that comes from African-centered belief systems or Christianity or a mixture of the two. Very, very interesting. It says, to the north in Orange Creek, instead of donning actual masks, the Jonkonu revelers would sometimes coat their faces with white powder, a widespread practice in Central and West Africa, as well as the Maroons people of Suriname. This is something I've seen as well, especially during precursors to rebellions that happened in North America, that have happened in Jamaica, that have happened in Suriname, also in the Virgin Islands, the use of the white powder as a means of empowerment, which is something that I found coming in from Ghana. Something called Adurupa, which is a white powder which was supposed to bring forth the power of your ancestors onto you and also to make you impervious to any bullet, gunshot, lashing, whatever. But it was used, they covered themselves in this powder before engaging in some form of resistance. So, is it that they use the flower to mimic whites, make themselves anonymous, or connect to that African spiritual element of making you impervious through this use of the white powder? Because the white powder wasn't just flour, it was clay intermixed with so many other different things, herbs which are kept secret, right? So this is a very interesting point. Why did we use the white powder? In Jonkonu, you more see now the wire mesh masks, which is supposed to mimic, ridicule the European colonial forces. So maybe they are separate things that have been made to be congealed together in the assumption that they all mean the same thing, right? But I thought it was quite cool. And looking at the fact that the spirit of Jonkonu in the Bahamas is also rooted in resistance in terms of reclamation of space, going over the hill, even just like how that Moravian minister in Jamaica was so frustrated with the enslaved on the plantation in 1812. And then, okay, how many miles away in the Bahamas, decades later, right? Over 100 plus years later, how, you know, the descendants of enslaved people in the Bahamas who are there up and out of church singing Jesus Loves still could not sever themselves from the Jonkonu, right? I think that's something so powerful. And I'm going to leave it right there. Right there. Episode done. Definitely need a part two, because when we get into American Jonkonu and then Belizean, Nicaraguan, Honduran Jonkonu with the Garifuna people, that's a whole next thing we're going into. But just the power in our masquerade, let me not trivialize it, let me honor it. And you know what, we can have Santa Claus and all of that too, eh? But let we have Jonkonu.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.